ॐ भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो Creative Impetus, Chapter 23, the Shishumara Planetary System, Text Number 3. I'll read that verse. Itarami Hishtamba Akramana Pasava Samyojita Stribistribhi Savanar Yata Stanam Mandalani Charantevam Bhagana Krahalaya Etasmin Antapahi Yogena Kala Chakra Ayojita Dhruvam Evavaramya Vayano Diryamana Akalpantam Paricham Pramanti Navasi Yata Megaha Shinarayo Vayu Vasaha Kama Sarvathayaha Parivathante Evam Jyotirganaha Praktiti Purusha Satyogano Gurahitaha Karma Niramita Gatayo Bhupi Na Patanti. Word for word, yata.
Yata.
Exactly like.
Exactly like.
Medishambe.
Medishambe.
To the pivot post.
To the pivot post.
Akramana Pasada.
Akramana Pasada.
Bulls for threshing rice.
Bulls for threshing rice.
Samyojitaha.
Samyojitaha.
Being yoked.
Being yoked.
Tribhi. Tribhi.
Tribhi. Tribhi.
By three.
By three.
Savanai.
Savanai.
Movements.
Movements.
Yathasthanam.
Yathasthanam.
In their proper places.
In their proper places.
Mandalani.
Mandalani.
Orbits.
Orbits.
Charanti.
Charanti.
Traverse.
Traverse.
Evam.
Evam.
In the same way.
In the same way.
Bhagana.
Bhagana.
The luminaries.
The luminaries.
Like the sun, the moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter.
Like the sun, the moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter.
Graha Adayaha.
Graha Adayaha.
The different planets.
The different planets.
Itasmin.
Itasmin.
In this.
Antaha
Bahi
Yogena.
By connection with the inner or outer circles.
By connection with the inner or outer circles.
Kala Chakra.
Kala Chakra.
In the wheel of eternal time.
In the wheel of eternal time.
Ayojitaha.
Ayojitaha.
Fixed.
Fixed.
Dhruvam.
Dhruvam.
Dhruvaloka.
Dhruvaloka.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Avalambya.
Taking support of
Vayuna
by
the wind.
By
Udiryamanaha.
Udiryamanaha.
Being propelled.
Being propelled.
Akalpa Antam.
Akalpa Antam.
Until the end of the creation.
Until the end of creation.
Parichan Kramanti, revolving all around, Nabasi, in the sky, Yata, exactly like Megha, heavy clouds, Shena Adayaha, birds such as the big eagle, Vayu Vashaha, controlled by the air. Karma Sarakayaha, whose chariot drivers are the results of their own past activities. Parivartante, move around, Eva, in this way. Jyoti Ganaha, the luminaries, the planets and stars in the sky. Prakriti, of material nature, Purusha, and of the Supreme, and of the Supreme Personality, Krishna. Samyoga Anugrahitaha, supported by the combined efforts, Karmanirmita, caused by their own past fruitive activities. Gatayaha, whose movements will be on the ground. Na, not. Patanti, fall down. When bulls are yoked together and tied to a central post to thresh rice, they tread around that pivot without deviating from their proper positions. One bull being closest to the post, another in the middle, and a third on the outside. Similarly, all the planets and all the hundreds and thousands of stars revolve around the pole star, the planet of Maharaj Dhruva. In their respective orbits, some higher and some lower, fastened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the machine and material nature, according to the results of their fruitive acts. They are driven around the pole star by the wind and will continue to be so until the end of creation. These planets float in the air within the vast sky, just as clouds, with hundreds of tons of water float in the air, or as the great Shena eagles, due to the results of past activities, fly high in the sky and have no chance of falling to the ground. Purport, according to the description of this verse, the hundreds of thousands of stars and the great planets such as the Sun, the Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars and Jupiter are not clustered together because of the law of gravity or any similar idea of modern scientists. These planets and stars are all servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govinda, or Krishna. And according to his order, they sit in their chariots and travel in their respective orbits. The orbits in which they move are compared to machines given by material nature, to the operating deities of the stars and planets who carry out the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by revolving around Dhruva Loka, which is occupied by the great devotee Maharaj Dhruva. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita as follows: Yatschak Chirisha Samhita Sakala Brahmanam Raja Samasta Sulamurti Rasesha Tejaha Yasya Gaya Brahmati Samhita Kala Chakro Govinda Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whose control even the sun, which is considered to be the eye of the Lord, rotates within the fixed orbit of eternal time. The sun is the king of all planetary systems and has unlimited potency in heat and light.
This verse from Brahma Samhita confirms that even the largest and most powerful planet, the Sun, rotates within a fixed orbit or Kala Chakra in obedience to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This has nothing to do with gravity or any other imaginary laws created by the material scientists. Material scientists want to avoid the ruling government of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they imagine different conditions under which they suppose the planets move. The only condition, however, is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the various predominating deities of the planets are persons, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a person. The Supreme Personality orders the subordinate persons, the demigods of various names, to carry out his supreme will. This fact is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10, wherein Krishna says, Mayadya Kshena Prakriti, Suryate Sa Chalacharam, Hejunani Vakanteya, Jagat Viparivartate. The material nature is working under my direction, Asamuti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its law, the manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. The orbits of the planets resemble the bodies in which all living entities are seated, because they are both machines controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 61, Ishvaraha sarva-bhutanam ridhe-shir-juna-tishtati brahmayam sarva-bhutanani yantra gurunani mahaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The machine given by material nature, whether the machine of the body, or the machine of the orbit, or Kala Chakra, works according to the orders given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and material nature work together to maintain this great universe, and not only this universe, but also the millions of other universes beyond this one. The question of how the planets and stars are floating, it's also answered in this verse. It is not because of the laws of gravity. Rather, the planets and stars are enabled to float by manipulations of the air. It is due to such manipulations that big heavy clouds float and big eagles fly in the sky. Modern airplanes like the 747 jet aircraft work in a similar way. By controlling the air, they float high in the sky, resisting the tendency to fall to earth. Not always successful, by the way. Such adjustments of the air are all made possible by the cooperation of the principles of Purusha, male, and Prakriti, female. By the cooperation of material nature, which is considered to be Prakriti, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is considered the Purusha, all the affairs of the universe are going on nicely in their proper order. Prakriti, material nature, is also described in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 44, as follows. Srishti, Siddhi, Pradhaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Vika, Chayeva, Yasya, Bhuvanani, Vibharati, Yuga, Ishtana, Rupa, Vyasya, Chachesta, Tesa, Govinda, Madhitusham, Tamaham, Vajami. The external potency, Maya, who is the nature of the shadow of the chit, spiritual potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of the mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Material nature, the external energy of the Supreme Lord, He's also known as Durga, or the female energy that protects the great fort of this universe. The word Durga also means fort. This universe is just like a great fort in which all the conditioned souls are kept, and they cannot leave it unless they are liberated by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord Himself declares in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, verse 9, Janma kama jame divyam, evam yo viti tatsataha, tyaktva deham punar janma, naiti mam iti sojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode of Arjuna. Thus, simply by Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be liberated, or in other words, one can be released from the great fort of this universe and go outside into the spiritual world. It is also significant that the predominating deities of even the greatest planets have been offered their resort posts because of the very valuable pious activities they performed in previous births. This is indicated here by the words karma, niramita, katayana. For example, as we have previously discussed, the moon is called Jiva, which means that he is a living entity like us, but because of his pious activities, he has been appointed to his post as a moon god. Similarly, all the demigods are living entities who have been appointed to their various posts as the masters of the moon, the earth, Venus, and so on, because of their great service and pious acts. Only the predominating deity of the sun, Surya Narayan, is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Dhruva, the predominating deity of Dhruva Loki, is also a living entity. Thus, there are two kinds of entities, the Supreme Entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the ordinary living entity, the Jiva. Nityo, Nityanam, Jitana, Jitananam. All the demigods are engaged in the service of the Lord. And only by such an arrangement are the affairs of the universe going on. Regarding the great eagles mentioned in this verse, it is understood that there are eagles so big that they can prey on big elephants. They fly so high that they can travel from one planet to another. They start flying in one planet and land in another, and while in flight they lay eggs that hatch into other birds while falling through the air. In Sanskrit, such eagles are called jina. Under the present circumstances, of course, we cannot see such huge birds, but at least we know of eagles that can capture monkeys and then throw them down to kill and eat them. Similarly, it is understood that there are gigantic birds that can carry off elephants, kill them and eat them. The two examples of the eagle and the cloud are sufficient to prove that flying and floating can be made possible through adjustments of the air. The planets, in a similar way, are floating because material nature adjusts the air according to the orders of the Supreme Lord. It could be said that these adjustments constitute the law of gravity, but in any case, one must accept that these laws are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The so-called scientists have no control over them. The scientists can falsely and improperly declare that there is no God, but this is not a fact.
Om Agam Divinandasya Kanjana Sadakaya Chakshuram Vitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Guru Krishtam Sapitam Jena Mutale Svayam Pakada Isavasyam idam sarvam
yakinca devetam tuya chakva deham bhujitakya deham punajama naya. Of tired. Memory goes when you're tired. That's why sleep is important. Chakya. What is it? Chakva?
Chakya.
Mahabriya Kasya Suddhanam. Okay, got the last one. Third line. What's the third line of the first verse of the Upanishad? Not the invocation.
Chakvena,
Mujita, Mahabriya Kasya. Yes, everything in the creation is owned and controlled by the Isha, the supreme controller, Parama Isha, or Ishvara, Parama Ishvara, Krishna. So, these descriptions in the Srimad Bhagavatam give us a perception or an understanding, an insight into the workings of the material creation. Much of this information we couldn't find out ourselves. Another can be untested. Another can be tested. Although there are ways of perceiving, you know, the material creation with our gross senses, or even with subtle instruments, you know, through receiving the input of energy, I guess, with telescopes and so forth. But this perception or this vision of the creation as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and as Dr. Nishi explained the other day, the Bhagavatam gives us a variety of perception or insight into what the working of the universe, what the workings of the universe are. Not just one gross material perception, but perceptions of a subtle nature. But practically speaking, for all intents and purposes, these have to be accepted as factual. The daily teachings that are described as our Purusha, they're not coming from a materially faulty person like ourselves. Prabhupada gives the example in this Upanishad. How we have faults. We have a faulty perception of things. Our senses are imperfect. We're subject to illusion. We perceive something and we see it as something else. We make mistakes. So we have these four defects, and you know, the biggest defect is that we achieve this. We think that we're perfect when we're not. So the vision of the devotees is this shastra chakshush, seeing with the vision of the shastra. Because that information has been delivered by the Supreme Lord originally, the Vedic instructions, it is then considered
information delivered by a faultless person, not somebody who's conditioned, who's subject to the four material defects. And so therefore the devotees accept these descriptions as being absolute, without fault, and happily derive the benefits therefrom, having a proper understanding or a full understanding of how that creation works. So basically the purport here is that everybody is working according to the order of the Supreme Person. And of course the example is given here of the bulls. You know, there's a reference previously about an oil crushing machine, right? Which I got to see in Tirupati, right? I've never seen one of those before. And they were crushing peanuts, I think, and making peanut oil, right? And I was quite intrigued. And you can hear it creaking and grinding, right? But the bull was only one bull. Well, no, actually, I think there were two in this particular case. And so they have a mortar. It's kind of like a mortar. Probably a meter, at least a meter and a half high, and hollow. And they have a stick that goes in the middle of the mortar, and which is like the pestle, right? And in that they pour the peanuts. And then there's a piece of wood that comes from the top and that's connected to the bullets. Right? And then they walk around, but they're always walking in a circle. Right? And of course, as they move around, the more the pestle they get, we'll call it, I don't know what they call it. But that moves around and it grinds, it pushes the peanuts up against themselves and up against the side of the mortar. And they fill it up, and of course that then squeezes out the peanut oil. Have you seen it? You must have seen it. Yeah. I've never seen it before. And they did it every morning. Not quite sure what they did it, but because it's in the grounds of the temple. And you look out from the guest house and you can sit down and you can see it going around. But interesting to see these descriptions. I guess, you know, this is how the Bhagavad Gita illustrates these points so that people can understand it. And so just as those balls are positioned by the farmer, I suppose, and they can't move outside of their orbit. They're under control. Right? And so this is an example. This is the bulls under the control of the farmer, and can't move without the permission of the farmer. Right? So also, the planetary systems are described as moving, all under the influence of the Kala Chakra, that's under the influence of the time factor. And of course, the time factor is an expansion or a feature of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, time I am the destroyer of all worlds, all men, all animals, all everything in creation is under the influence of the time factor. We're all controlled by Krishna, and ultimately that means we're all controlled by Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions that here. The planetary systems, the humans, the animals, everyone is under the influence of the time factor. Some in more ways than
others. And the awarding of those various positions and the degrees of control that are applied by Krishna is determined by the previous activities of everybody. So you want to know why you're where you are now? Well, you can understand that you're all pious persons, right? Otherwise you wouldn't have taken birth in a human form of life. And even more fortunate, we are to have received the human form of life, but got the opportunity to understand what it's for. Right? This is the real benefit of the human form. Otherwise, you know, we see dwi pada pashu, right? Two-legged animals, human beings that just use the human form of life for pursuing animalistic propensities and behaviors, are considered to have wasted the opportunity that they've got, right? The human form of life is not perfected by your football team winning the grand final. Huh? That is not the perfection of life. Otherwise, you'll take birth as a demon. This year, the demons won the grand final. But you just take birth as a demon life after life. So the controllers, and probably the Bhagavatam uses a very interesting perception of what's happening. The various planetary systems are considered to be are like seats, if you like, right? And the rulers or the controllers of those planetary systems have their place. And by dint to have control of these planets is considered to be very auspicious and bestows great powers on these personalities. And, you know, it's describing about them how they have freedom within those planets. And they're opulent, you know, there's facility. Just like we have on Earth a variety of facilities to enjoy. So the Bhagavatam presents how on these other planetary systems there are facilities and there are varieties of enjoyment. And so the controllers of these planets have a great deal of facility to enjoy. And that facility to enjoy is provided by a dint of past good karma, good action, and the laws of physics apply. For every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Or as is mentioned in the Christian scriptures, as you sow, so you shall reap. So do good things, you'll get good things back. Do bad karma, and you'll get bad reactions. This is not very complicated, very simple to understand. And of course, all of this is being done under the auspices of the Paramatma, the Super Soul. And so Prabhupada mentions here, Ishvaraha, Sarvabhutana, Ridesha, Junadishti, these all being controlled by Krishna. Although Krishna, and we, you know, it's very hard. We our mind boggles when we try to think, how does Krishna do that? You know, Krishna is aware of all of the desires of all of the living entities, and in his capacity as a super soul, has facilitated the movements of all the living entities. And we're going, how does he do that? Well, it was an immense task, because I knew the divinities, practically speaking, and all of their desires and all of their deserts are being rewarded by the agency of Krishna in the form of the Paramatma, who's situated within the heart of everybody. He knows everything. You know, we as living entities are situated in our own heart, and yet we don't even know about ourselves. Right? And so we're thinking, how is it possible that there's a living entity, right, who knows everything about everyone? When we can't even know everything about ourselves, how does it do that? It's impossible. We just can't work it out. So, and yet Krishna says, you know, just by a minute portion of myself, I'm able to do this. But so, you know, it's like, what kind of a person is Krishna? Just incredible. And yet, you know, he prefers to play with the cows in Vrindavan. Right? He doesn't have to worry about, you know, anything going on, because it all happens automatically. This is just, who would want to have a friend like that? And it's just like, you know, it was interesting, I was at the farm yesterday, and Mani Griva wasn't there, and the cows were being exceptionally affectionate. I'm not sure if that's because Mani Griva hadn't given their daddy back, but they were really affectionate. And there's one guy actually is really very affectionate, and your money group says that if somebody comes to the farm and they're feeling a little blue, you know, a little down, then the mental health treatment is that he gets to spend some time with Gayatri. And so I was giving them all a pat, right? I was in the pen, and what happens is, if you pat one of them, then the others get jealous, but especially Gayatri. So I can't remember one of the big ones, so I was getting a bit of a rub. And Gayatri, and I'd already been giving her a bit of attention, but then she came up to me and she started pushing me, you know. And then I gave her a rub, and then I started to pat the other one, then she goes, boom, you know. So you get reciprocation. Reciprocation for the animal. So, and you can see how affectionate they are and how attractive that affection is. In fact, Mani Griva had one of the guests at the farm spend time with Gayatri. And after the second day, he said to Mani Griva, I don't think I can meet him. Which is showing such, you know, such affection. So, these descriptions in the Bhagavatam illustrate how much control Krishna has over the millions and billions of stars, you know, within the universe, and how they're all working, moving around Dhruva like that, just as these balls, the example of the balls moving in orbit. And Prabhupada saying here, you know, this is, well, it's interesting what Prabhupada says in the beginning. He says this is not gravity, right? But then at the end he says, well, maybe it is gravity. Right. But the point being, that ultimately this is not some impersonal, you know, material force, but ultimately everything within the creation is moving under the direction of the Supreme Person. This is a really important point, you know, that these are not just some impersonal workings, but rather that behind everything, by every movement of the planetary system, every movement of every living entity, there is a direction and there is a controller. This is something that we neglect to see, especially in the conditioned state, with imperfect, you know, when we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we think, I haven't seen any of this. Or, you know, as the Prabhupada points out here, it mentions, you know, there are big eagles that are big enough to pick up elephants, right? And actually, here, Prabhupada, one of the ladies asked the Prabhupada, you know, we've not seen elephants that can pick up, eagles that can pick up elephants. And Prabhupada said, what have you seen? You know, you're still, effectively, he said, you're just out of your mother's womb. You're still wet behind the ears. What have you seen? What have you experienced? The universe is so great. Especially we see here in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, all of these different bhashas, planetary systems, and so forth. And you know, Satya was, ooh, we haven't seen any of this. And so therefore it's not true. Right? But you know, switch off the lights in the middle of the night, what can you see? Right? You can't even see your hand in front of your face. But you know it's there. So what is this? You know, our experience is so limited. When we hear the descriptions of the Srimad Bhagavatam and, you know, the variety and the structure and the order of the creation. And of course the main point is it's all operating under the control of the original supreme person. And, you know, practically speaking, impossible to verify any of this information. But the devotees accept it as factual because it's been deluded by the supreme person according to his arrangements, according to his plan, if you like. And of course, you know, the most practical or fundamental of spiritual knowledge and spiritual practice is what confirms the belief in these things, even though we can't personally experience them. But we experience the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita in the simple practices of chanting Hare Krishna. This is why, you know, at the end of any Hare Krishna presentation, it's always chant Hare Krishna. This is the most practical experience. Chant Hare Krishna and realize that you're not the body, that you're a spirit soul. We get pratyak saragamam dhamyam, right? Direct experience from practicing the Vedic formulas, if you like. The yogic formulas. It's a very simple formula. Chanting Hare Krishna. And then by chanting Hare Krishna, what do we get? We get direct perception of our spiritual identity. That we're not the body. Direct perception. And so what happens when we accept anything that we read in the scripture? Because that practice, simple practice, which is so profound and so deeply experiential, that it confirms everything that we read in the Shastra. And so that's why the devotees, the tradition, the practice is to see with the vision of Shastra. The Shastra delivers us in this age the Yuga Dharma and the perfection of existence, which is to understand and realize, to appreciate, and to act upon this the real identification of the self. That we're not the body that we screw us all. This is, you know, this is the basic, this is the beginning. These are the beginnings, the ABCs of spiritual practice. It's what begins the Bhagavad Gita, effectively, that you're not the body. And we're given a practice that so powerfully provides experiential evidence of the reality of yoga practice, and which is why then the devotees are happy to accept the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, may not understand them fully, but accept them with faith, in good faith, knowing that, you know, none of this can actually really be tested. How are you going to test it? What are you going to do? And in one sense, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, almost, it's not of great concern. Whereas for some, it's like, whoa, what is this? Eagles flying in the sky that can pick up elephants. It's actually a challenge of faith for many. But what's this? It's due to the manipulation of air, flying of eagles, due to the manipulation of air, just like a 747 jet aircraft. In a few hundred years' time, maybe you'll know what a 747 jet aircraft even looks like. I said, what is this 747? Okay. Yeah. So how does everything work? Prabhupada says here, the only condition, however, is the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything's working under Krishna's direction. So, I'll finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions? We should also work under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mama.
Yeah, you address this point. Where Prabhupada at the initial is saying that there is no gravity.
we should. That was the first statement, but we should always take the final statement.
Right?
Just like, you know, there was a statement made by one of the health department officers in New South Wales the other day, which has been promoted online, that, you know, everybody who was in intensive care was vaccinated and only one was partially vaccinated. But then when the journalist said to him afterwards, and so this is what's been promoted, but then when the journalist spoke to him and said, is that figure correct? He said, oh, sorry, it's a mistake, right? All of those in ICU, none of them were vaccinated except one who was only partially vaccinated. Right? So we take the last statement, not the first one. Because what do people promote? The wrong statement. Right? So what does Prabhupada say? It could be said. So Prabhupada's kind of acknowledged. Because, you know, Prabhupada liked to illustrate that the materialistic mood or mentality is to look at things and see everything with a material cause. Right? And so Prabhupada says here, it could be said that these adjustments constitute the law of gravity. So Prabhupada's giving a little bit there. The beginning is forward, but at the end he says, well, yes, actually, this is what we call gravity. But we should understand who's behind the gravity. Right? One must accept that these laws are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we have no control over them. The scientists, and this is the point that Prabhupada really is pushing, right? Those who falsely, improperly declare that there is no God. But this is not a fact. So I don't think Prabhupada actually says that it's not gravity. He puts on his boxing gloves and has a bit of a spar, but actually at the end he says, yes, well, this is what they call gravity. But his point is, and of course, it's a preaching technique. Prabhupada was actually quite a powerful preacher, and he used to say controversial things to get people's attention. Right? To make this point that God's behind everything. It's not just a haphazard accident. Right? It's not just an explosion. I didn't let you finish your question.
Yeah, this is within the purpose of being able to, have a consolidation. But sometimes, people pick up Prabhupada says something totally different from what he has said before, or in letter or morning walk or in a room conversation.
Controversial.
Then, how do you resolve that? Because
that's a good point. That's a good question. Some people will deny Prabhupada's teachings because of one statement.
Yeah.
There's one statement in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that women are considered unreliable or
not trustworthy
because they're less intelligent.
Yeah.
So it's a challenging. You read that every time. It's like a punch on the nose, right? And so, context is everything. Right? You've got to, and in order to understand a person, we don't just take one of their actions out of context without seeing all of their other actions. Right? So similarly also, it's inappropriate. Although it is done, but it is inappropriate to take one statement without looking at all of the other statements, and also then looking at the statements in the context of the actions of the person. Right? If you want to know somebody, you really have to understand the facets, the various facets of their personality. And how do we test a person's speech? Prabhupada says speech is the most important quality of a man, right, or a woman, of a person, right? But how do we, we test a person's speech by how they act, right? And this is really the test of an acharya is they speak, but they also do. Prabhupada says, if you're smoking cigarettes, you can hardly teach somebody to stop smoking because your example is not there, right? So we need to, and so if we really want to understand a person, we have to know them in their, in their entirety, pretty much, to then properly judge. Right. So to take one statement out of the context of the person's life and their activities, right, is hardly fair. Right? But of course, life is not fair. But some people do that. Right? Whereas those who follow, who associated with and followed Srila Prabhupada are able to contextualize all of Srila Prabhupada's statements, even the statements from the Vedas, right? Because even Vedic statements taken out of context can be thoroughly bewildering, right? Which is why you have to have a guru, right? It's not that one can study the Vedas by oneself. No, you have to study the Vedas with a teacher. And why is the teacher so important? Because the teacher can provide the context, right? And so, yeah. A proper study of an individual, or the teachings of an individual, require a broader perspective than just one or two sentences taken out of context. Although people do that, and then completely write somebody off.
Comment in this regard about how Prabhupada is presented in the beginning, what is statement, and apparently at the end is saying different about the gravitational laws.
Yes.
Can we understand, for example, as a how Prabhupada, for example, is showing the how he constructs the thought process that he has?
Yes.
And he's analyzing. But as a devotee, he won't say things that is, he will see things that you say, Shastra Shakshu. So he is confronting the thought process we see there and establishing the conclusion based on the Shastra. At the end, the conclusion is just this laws of gravitational laws is there.
Yep.
But it's the energy of the Lord.
Yes.
It's controlled by the Lord. Yep. We can observe how evolving it's the thought process of Prabhupada.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Prabhupada's teaching is how to think and see with reference to the Shastri perspective. And that there's a person behind everything. Whereas most people wonder why things happen. Right? There's an accident. And then people think, whoa, that happened. And it appears random, it doesn't. We're not able to see the cause and effect and the controllers, the personal controllers of the material energy, we're not able to see it. The Prabhupada's teachings, the Shastra teaches us to see it. Yeah. And that we have no control, we are controlled. Whereas the idea is, you know, man is the measure of the universe from the scientific. And Prabhupada says, no, you're not. There is a person, but it's not you. There's the Supreme Person. And you're meant to surrender to the Supreme Person. Whereas the dualistic mentality is, you're meant to surrender to me. And that's why we have competition. Right? And that competition, Prabhupada says, it's just like a bunch of animals fighting over, you know, scraps. And then that competition for resources means that we forget who we are. Okay, anything else? Okay, congratulations, Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai. Congratulations, Bhagavatam ki jai.